Well, welcome, Hope Church. And if you're still hanging with us online, you are amazing. Welcome online. But hey, apparently our computer has gone down, so I'm going to have to take up an offering right now. Okay, so let's just bow our heads. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, there's such things as technology failing and all that we relied upon to get us through. Guess what? It fails sometimes, doesn't it? It fails sometimes. And so, worship team, you guys did a great job. I know it's not easy to stand up there and do that when there's the lyrics go down and all that stuff. So thank you for leading today and just getting through that. And we love you and we love your service to our church. Thank you, everybody, for this morning. We just wish Jim and Aaron a safe trip because they're leaving right now, getting on a plane. And we are really looking forward to Gretel and Jessica coming to visit us, two of our missionaries that we support in Costa Rica next week. So come for that. That would be awesome. So if you were with us last week online or here, we talked about hope, right? First week of Advent, but we talked about a story about John Aldridge. You guys remember that story? He was a lobsterman who fell overboard in the middle of the night, right? 40 miles offshore near New York. And he was found and rescued 12 hours later after making it through the night. Now, this happened way back in 2014, so we kind of shared that. And would you believe that at the exact time we were talking about that last Sunday, at the exact time there was another man clinging for his life off the coast of Florida? Exact same time. Now, I had some good photos up there, but it looks like those aren't going to happen. But let me just describe to you. The first photo was of a man named Stuart B. Stuart B. So if you'd like to see these photos, all you got to do is just look up Stuart B. And he fell asleep, at which point he woke to his boat filling with water, and there was zero time for him to make any distress calls before he went down in the middle of the night. Just happened. And although a search effort was made, Stuart was completely lost with no one able to pinpoint his whereabouts. You know, at least in the previous story last week, John Aldridge, you know, he at least had a fishing partner who was on the boat who later realized that he had fallen overboard. And so at least they were able to, you know, track, you know, where they had been and try to start somewhere. But in this case, you know, there was a rescue, there was a search effort that went out, but it was to no avail. They didn't even know where to start. I mean, it was certain death for Stuart, but Stuart was rescued after 2 days in the ocean. 2 days. How did he survive? Oh, I wish you could see the picture. You're just going to have to go look it up yourself, all right? But there's a picture of Stuart, and he's climbed on top of the bow of his boat, which by some miracle was the only part of his boat that stayed above water. So probably, like, you know, from the stage to here, that tip of the boat just was floating. Everything else went down, and he was just clinging on for dear life. And he stayed above water that way for 2 days, okay? Luckily, a 738-foot cargo freighter carrying a load of Chiquita bananas was on its way from Honduras and passing by, heading to the States, when they happened to see him clinging to the top of the bow of his boat, and Stuart was rescued more than 86 miles from shore. Can you believe that? I'm just blown away. And I remember we stopped for a minute last week and we prayed for renewal and strength and hope for us. I think those prayers were not only meant for us, but I think they were meant for Stuart, who was out in the ocean at the very moment. By the way, when he got home, Stuart was very excited to make himself a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Just so you know. Those are pretty good. What an incredible story. I actually thought I should have done this. I was going to bring up a whole bunch of bananas and just put them up here. And, you know, the way this morning's gone, that would have been a great thing to have up here because things are crazy this morning, you know. Everything seems to be sinking this morning. But look, the news article was really good too. There's some audio that you can hear online if you just go find it. And you can hear Stuart talking about the trouble he knew he was in. And then you could also hear a radio transmission of the captain of the ship calling in the rescue to the Coast Guard. And he was just saying how happy they were to have saved this guy out in the ocean. Just made their day. It made their whole voyage. And what a story about what matters most in life and about what we are called to do. You know what? That's what the journey is all about. And I can't help but think this morning about how many people are out there right now, lost and struggling in their difficult circumstances. And maybe that's even you here today. And maybe you're in the worst kind of distress and longing for help. One thing that Stuart said after he was rescued in his interview, he said that when he saw that ship turn, make that turn, and start heading for him to rescue him as he's waving the only thing he had left, the shirt over his head. Help! Come and rescue me! You know, he felt this incredible sense of peace. This incredible sense of calmness came over him. And that is what the second Sunday of Advent is all about. And why I wanted to share that story. It's about the peace that Jesus brought to all humanity. And I just want to encourage you this morning that Jesus came to give us peace in the middle of our most troubling situations. And you might be out there thinking, hey, I don't feel a lot of peace right now. You know, things have gotten hard. And things don't look all that peaceful in the world right now. In fact, they look pretty hostile. You know, and talk about bananas. The whole world is going bananas right now. Doesn't it seem like that? And that is true. We don't always live in calm environments. It doesn't always happen that way. So I want to look at this morning what biblical peace found in Jesus really is. Okay? Biblical peace. Number one, peace is between God and man. Peace is between God and man. Jesus intended to make peace between God and man. He came to rescue us because we got separated from God. And the simple truth is that we've all managed to navigate our lives too far out into the darkness. And we got lost and we got separated. And that's really what the Bible teaches us. It says that all have sinned. Every last one of us has done this. And it says we've all gone astray. And we've all gone our own way. And maybe some of us went a little further than others. But we all got lost anyway. And that's why Jesus' main priority for coming to us was not to give us some fantastic, perfect life here on earth. It was to make peace between God and man. To close that separation and to provide a way back into communion with the Father. You know, at one time in human history, right, in the beginning, right, things were good with God, but we sinned, and then we got separated from God, and we did that when we failed to listen to His instructions, and we went our own way. So really to restore all that or to have true peace with God has nothing to do with having an easy life. It really means this, that there's no longer anything that separates us from God. And listen to Romans 5:1. It says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. That came through His death on the cross. Then if you read in Romans 8:1, it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." In other words, there's no sin, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation that separates us anymore. All of that stuff separated us from God. And this was only made possible through Christ. And so we were put back into right standing with God. And that is what true peace is. It's reconciliation with God. What a wonderful gift that we have been given. We don't have peace with God. If we don't have peace with God, we're always going to be in distress in our lives. Just like the man who was lost at sea, separated from everything. You know, and then there's this feeling inside of this unrest. And what we're looking for is for peace with God. And I think in our hearts, we all know that this is a true thing because we experience it, we experience that unrest and distress every time we have a conflict with someone, right? Whenever unforgiveness is there, whenever we hold something against someone else, or maybe we've been hurt, or you know, we've been left feeling bitter in our lives, or maybe we've sinned against someone, or you know, maybe we just got mad and you know, we just had a fight or something. There's this separation that we feel in our relationship, and we just hate that. It's just a horrible feeling. And, you know, you're just never at peace until reconciliation is made, right? It just doesn't come to rest. So peace is putting relationships back together. And that's what Jesus came to do. Amen? Amen. Maddie and Tori, I'm so happy for you guys. Look at those twin babies over there. Wow. Such a good picture. It's beautiful. Hope you guys are doing good. That is a picture of a gift that God has given us. That is peace, isn't it? Point number two. Peace is a gift from God. Peace is a gift from God. Jesus gave us the same peace He had when He walked the earth, right? His life, although it was absent of sin and He overcame all that, it was not absent of trouble. He had a lot of trouble He had to deal with. And this is why Jesus said to His closest friends, the people that walked the closest with Him, you know, He told them that they would have trouble. And in John 14:27, He says this to His closest friends and disciples. He says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I hear other babies in the room. so precious. I'm happy for you guys too. Sean and Crystal. But God left peace with us. His peace is different than the world's idea of peace. It's not a peace based on having a life without trouble, right? As the world would kind of have you believe. We find peace when trouble subsides and we kind of live in that. That's not what it means. You know, Jesus was able to remain at peace through tremendous suffering in his life, and he obviously took on more than we could bear. He carried the burdens of all of us. But peace is actually a gift from God. You know, and it's a kind of peace that rises up in us when trouble rises up around us. This should come up. And this is one of the main purposes for why he left us peace on earth. To make it through tough stuff. And thank God his peace transcends all understanding, right? It's a peace that surpasses all understanding and guards our heart, as it says in Philippians. Because in crisis, in our greatest distress, God has given his peace to us that we should be the thing, you know, that peace should be the thing that breaches the surface and stays floating. And we can cling to that. And I wanted you to see the picture of that guy just clinging to the boat. You know, that is the same. That is peace. The peace God gave us. And I just want to tell you, you can make it through the troubled times that you're going through now. You can press through and you can make it. God is with you and he's given us his peace. All right, third thing. Peace is promised. Peace is promised to us. In Isaiah 54:10, it says this. It says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. So Jesus has made a covenant of peace with us, which is an agreement. And that agreement that he made has been signed and sealed by his own blood when he made that great sacrifice on the cross. And that means that peace has been promised. And what this verse tells us, as it's talking about the mountains and all these things around us and our environment around us, is that God's promises are firm and more secure, more than the mountains themselves. You know, so go find the biggest mountain you can find and just gaze at its majesty and wonder to yourself, how can this be moved? It can't. It cannot be moved. And so his covenant of peace is even greater than that. It's stronger and more lasting than that. Amen? And we call him the Prince of Peace. He's called that in Isaiah 9. And Les and Mary read that this morning. I'm going to read it again. But he's able to keep his promises. And here's what it says again, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7 goes on, of the greatness of his government and peace there would be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. We're going through a lot of stuff today in our world. You know, especially regarding government and authorities right? All of that. But this foretelling in Isaiah, this foretelling of Christ's birth, you know, it reminds us that there's more to the story. It reminds us that peace will eventually reign forever. But for right now, it's a promise given to you, and it shows itself in the hearts of those that know Christ. It rises up in our hearts, especially in the most difficult times. And that example is almost a foretelling or like a testimony that in the days to come, there will be peace that has no end. So when that peace rises up in your heart in hard times, it's like a testimony to other people. Look, this is just a taste of the things to come. There will be peace that has no end. Amen? I mean, I want to experience that. Fourth thing, last point here. Where do we find this peace? Peace is found in knowing Christ. You know, if you just spend some time in the Bible, the Bible's full of stories of God rescuing people from troubled situations. And just for one example, the Apostle Paul, right? He was a missionary and he traveled all around the Mediterranean, and he was very familiar with the feeling of having been lost at sea, because the Bible tells us he was shipwrecked at least three times. So on multiple occasions, he's out there in the ocean. And there's a really detailed account of this actually in Acts 27, when we find Paul and a couple hundred other passengers stranded out in the ocean, and they're clinging on to the last remaining parts of their ship that are still floating. And it's difficult situations like that in Paul's life that generated some of the greatest advice that we'll ever hear. And this is one thing that Paul said in Philippians 3:8. He said this, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And you know what? Paul literally lost everything multiple times. But he considered it all nothing compared to knowing Christ. And maybe he was thinking of one of his shipwrecks, you know, when he wrote that down. I don't know. But he certainly had to lose a lot. And ultimately, there's nothing Paul wasn't willing to lose compared to knowing Christ. Because that's where true peace is found, in knowing Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's what we preach here. And that's what I want you to know. To seek after Him and to get to know Him. He has shown Himself to us, and it's in His Word. And we can find peace there. Couple of closing thoughts here. And band, are you guys going to come back up? Well, you guys can start heading up, and we're going to sing one more song together. But as they're making their way up, kind of getting settled, you know, last week we talked about hope, and we said that we are called to hope. Well, we are also called to peace. It's part of our journey with God. We're called to peace, called to go through tough times and let peace arise. And you know, He can save you from any situation. And I hope Stuart B's story proves that. If He wants to send a boat full of bananas to save you, He can do that. He can do that if we trust in Him. But in the meantime, here's what Colossians 3 says. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it rule in your hearts. Since as members of one... Okay. Turn it off. since as members of one body, you were called to peace. All right, let me read that again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Right now in this world, there's a lot of things to worry about, but we can't let them rule our hearts, right? We can't allow fear to rule our hearts because we are called to peace. And He no longer wants to be separated from us, but He's out there looking to rescue us so that we can have a stronger relationship with Him. Amen? I'm going to read one last verse, and then we'll sing. It comes from Romans, and it's such a powerful verse. It says this, Romans 8, 35, 39, 38 and 39. It says this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, thank You for Your peace. We pray, God, that Your peace would rule in our hearts, God. That we would not be inundated and sunk with fear. But God, that peace would rise to the surface in our lives. It would breach the surface, Lord, and we would cling to that in our lives. The peace that You give us, Lord. Your word says that You are our peace because You have made peace for us. We thank You for that great gift. We look to You. We reach out to You. Thank You for saving us and for sending, God, sending Your Son. Amen.